WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It is Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive, which, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, or sub the regular way, which is cheaper than Twitter Blue. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin. That's the intern, Kane Kittens.
Wait, you don't want to pay $8 for Twitter Blue and possibly get a check mark and then have it removed if you change your name to Elon Musk?
I'm just saying, it's cheaper than Twitter Blue.
I love that people were trolling him by doing that.
It's great. And then there's the one and only Tim Stein.
Keep your fingers crossed that you can still hear me!
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, just making sure. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Crown Jewel Review Edition of WTR Sunday Night. We're here to give you our thoughts and opinions on what went down yesterday, because that's a thing that happened.
It is a thing that happened.
But before we get into that, I need you all to do me a huge favor.
Okay.
I need you to, at some point in time, go to YouTube and subscribe to the No Pain Podcast. It's a very beneficial thing. I need three more people to subscribe to the No Pain Podcast on YouTube. The guy will give me roofing shingles if I get a certain number of subscribers to subscribe to his podcast. You don't have to do anything other than that except subscribe. And I'm asking you, please, please, please subscribe. I just put the link in the chat room. Thank you. Rock, please subscribe.
Please use creator code ROCKETSTOCK at the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag epic partner.
Yeah, you see, you go and plug shit, and I wind up helping you out, and then you just completely ignore everything I say. That's so rude of you.
Please use creator code ROCKETSTOCK at the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Hashtag epic partner.
Hey, Brent, thanks for subscribing, by the way. That was very much appreciated.
No problem.
Should we start calling him Karen for the night?
No.
Somewhat entitled.
Let's talk about the show, Tim.
So, yeah, that was the thing that happened, Crown Jewel. Overall, yeah, it was watchable.
I thought it was actually entertaining.
I really didn't have a problem with it. I wasn't able to catch the entire thing on Saturday before I had to step out and do some work for a few hours. When I came back and discovered that my recording feature on my TV box works, and I was able to watch most of the rest of the pay-per-view. The only thing that I missed was, I would say, probably half the Last Woman Standing match.
Which some people call match of the night.
From what I saw, yes.
What was your favorite match on the show, Tim?
This is another one of those cases I can't really pick out a favorite, just like last time. There wasn't really, to me, a supremely weak match on the card, although I think they opened with the wrong one.
Okay, we'll start there then. Why was it the wrong one to open with? Meaning Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. Why was it the wrong one to open with? Tim? Cool. Opinions. Fantastic. Hey, Brent, what do you think of Brock and Lashley?
Brock and Lashley were KG's not here to throw out his two beefy boys line, but it was two big-ass guys beating the high holy hell out of each other. Well, wait, let me change that. It was Bobby Lashley beating the high holy hell out of Brock Lesnar, which is what we got for most of that match.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, I didn't quite think they were going to go that way. I thought, you know, when Bobby did the kind of the start off with the early attack, I was like, oh, okay. But I thought Brock would be able to get more in. Not so much. Like, they decided to book this match as Bobby Lashley laying a whooping onto Brock Lesnar in ways we had not seen, really.
No.
I mean, we saw the quick match against Goldberg, and that was shocking. But it was like, this was just someone that is the size of Brock, that has some similar training as Brock, being Brock Lesnar to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Brock got a few shots in, and I was surprised to see, you know, he had to resort to the, the Shayna Baszler style finish, is the best way I could call that, or the Bret Hart, you know, like spring off of the turnbuckle into the pin. But I mean, it works, and you still had that kind of Brock Lesnar moment when the referee is like, do you want to quit? And he's like, I'm not gonna give up, shut up.
That was a good moment.
That was great, because it's like, oh no, Brock is still here. He's still around. But yeah, it was intriguing to see that, you know, that they want to make Bobby Lashley essentially on the same level as a Brock Lesnar, because it was one of those, I think a lot of us went into this match and it was like, okay, Lashley will hold his own, but it's Brock, it's a payday, we think we know how this is going to go. And they didn't go that way. And even at the end, you know, Lashley being angry with the finish and then locking it in again on Brock, I don't know what they're going to do with Bobby moving forward. Was this just, okay, post-match, it just kind of happened? Or are they turning him semi-heel again after his U.S. title run?
That seems to be where they're headed with him.
Because, I mean, I know they're going to try and do a third match between Brock and Bobby at some point.
Some point.
Because now you've got the rubber match that you have to do. They're both tied 1-1.
It was going to be at the show where you hold up your finger, but that's no more.
Yeah, that day one hold up your finger is gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could do it at Stand and Deliver, or Roadblock, or whatever it's called.
Stand and Deliver is the NXT show.
Well, no, I know, but I'm saying, like, you know, the end of the year show that NXT is like, you could put that there and draw some eyes. Nah.
Oh, Deadline?
Yeah. I mean, you could also do it at Royal Rumble, but that takes two really big guys out of the Rumble. So I don't know if they're going to do that.
You can do it at Mania. You could do it at Chamber.
Yeah, you could do it at Mania, I guess.
Or at Chamber may work, because that way you can give a fresh match for both guys in WrestleMania.
Yeah, and plus you pull them out of the Chamber at that point.
Which they're not needed in at that point.
No.
So,
although last Chamber, having Brock Lesnar throw Austin Theory from pillar to post was kind of fun to watch.
That was very fun to watch, yes. So we're going to ask the question, why was it a bad choice to open, Tim?
Well, it wasn't the hype fest. The ending kind of bothered me a little bit. It's always been my position, the curtain jerker should be one of the hottest matches on your card. Now, the second match would have been better as the first match, and the first match better as the second match.
But the reaction of the first match, especially with one of the performers, made sense why it opened. Because Brock was completely over with this crowd. He had a massive ovation when he walked out.
And that's the other thing. Maybe Bobby Lashley was only doing the heel turn because it was in Saudi, and Brock was massively is insanely over there.
Well, and Rock, I think you brought up a point about why Brock Lesnar was in the opening match when we talked yesterday. If Brock isn't the closer, what does he want to be?
Oh, he wants to be first.
Yeah, so he can GTFO.
Well, you can't really do that here, but...
True.
Yeah, but... It would be kind of hard to hit the local bar as soon as your match is over if you're wrestling in Saudi Arabia.
But usually he likes to be first or last just because he knows those are the best spots. He's not dumb in terms of business. He knows, okay, if I'm not positioned in the main event, I'd rather be the one out there first, get the big reaction, do my shit, and get out.
Be done for the night.
Yeah. So why? So, Tim, you didn't like the finish. Why?
It seemed rushed. It was a really strangely booked match, and I'm not the only one to say this. It had a weird feel to it for me.
Okay. It was awkward seeing Brock try to do that spot where you bounce off the corner and like, oh, but it was unique into the point where he just laid on top of the person instead of, you know, rolling over, which most people do in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was different. They tried something. Then Lashley beat his ass some more afterwards.
Oh, yeah, he did. He beat him like he stole something.
Which I don't really think, because it was in Saudi Arabia, I don't think that necessarily means Bobby's doing a heel turn.
Oh, we'll see on Monday if it is a heel turn or not.
We'll find out.
We then had what Tim thinks should have been the opener, the women's tag team titles.
Which I thought was a very, very well done match. I'm slightly choked that the title switched hands again.
So the newly crowned champions, Asuka and Alexa, took on Dakota Kai and Io Sky.
But Rock, there was something that happened before the match.
What, Brant?
So they did that, interesting little interview segment before someone comes out. So that usually kind of forecasts something may happen. And they were talking to Alexa. And while Alexa was giving her answer, all of a sudden, a certain symbol popped up on the screen right next to her and kind of took her out of the moment for a second.
Yeah.
You know, that symbol of an upside-down moth. I wonder what that could be.
They did actually acknowledge it on commentary, which was the first time they've done that.
Yeah. Because normally it's just been like a wink and nod to the fans alone. But now it's like, oh, now that he's returned, it's kind of...
But that one was very clearly, you could see.
Yeah.
So why did you like this match, Tim?
It was entertaining. It was a very good match. Bottom line.
I thought it was interesting. Prior to this event, they interviewed Bayley and they were talking to her about damage control. And she was saying the fact that, like, the other two girls, Dakota and Io, aren't used to being on the road. So this is, like, a completely different experience for them. And I bet going to Saudi is also part of that completely different experience for them.
Yeah.
But they got to go out and, you know, the crowd was there for them. I'll give them that.
They were big fans of Asuka.
Mm-hmm. I think they loved themselves some Alexa, too.
They did.
You know, who doesn't like themselves a little blonde girl?
What wrestling fan doesn't like seeing Asuka and Sky go head-to-head knowing their past?
That's one of the things I will give commentary, not only in this match, but in other matches.
Yeah.
You've started to see more of, like, referencing past and referencing other areas. It was touched on more in another match.
They sort of opened up so they're a forbidden door of their own, kind of.
But it was nice for them to touch on the fact that it's like, yeah, Asuka and Io do, and they've done it in a previous matchup of theirs, but yeah, it's kind of like, oh yeah, they were part of, was it Three Tails? I think it's the group.
I don't remember the name, but yeah, go with it.
But it's
they Asuka. They were teamed together in New Japan.
Yeah, it's Asuka, Stardom. Io, and Io's sister.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to see them referencing the fact that it's like, yeah, there is other stuff out there.
Were we surprised that Nikki Cross was the one to cost them the match?
In hindsight, no.
Just after the past, like, 3 weeks? No. Although it is interesting to see what they're doing with Nikki because she's not really aligned with anyone. She's just there for chaos. Because we've seen her beat up Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 seconds later, she's beating up Bayley. And in this, it's like she happened to help damage control. But if you notice, she really was going after Alexa, who was her former partner slash best friend. So we're getting, Nikki could just be getting revenge in that respect, or like I said, this could also be the idea of like, well, Nikki just wants to create as much chaos as possible, and so if she has the titles change hands here, sweet. I'm not sure where they're fully going with this, but it makes me want to kind of see what's happening tomorrow and in the next few weeks just to be like, okay, what is the story here? Where are they going with this?
As Tim mentioned, we had new champions in Dakota Kai and Io Sky. I don't mind quick title changes.
Well, in this case, it makes sense to do that. That's not what has me choked though, is I picked Asuka and Alexa to retain the titles.
Mm.
That's what has me choked.
There you go.
I mean, technically everyone on the show did, but.
You know.
Yeah. But also, I mean, I think Dakota and Bailey Dakota and Io have a little bit more room with what they can do in terms of challengers, possibly. I think Alexa and Asuka, you could have freshened things up a little bit, but depending upon if two people return anytime in the near future, I think them coming for the kind of like upstarts who are trying to, you know, shake up the women's division might be a better story.
Maybe, but I would also enjoy Shayna and Ronda taking on Asuka and Alexa for the belts. That would have been fun.
That's true, but Shayna's already got the SmackDown title. So I don't know if you necessarily want to put, you know, turn Ronda. Her towards the tag.
Ronda.
Okay, sorry. Ronda has the SmackDown title. I don't know if you want to turn her towards the tag belts and do the double champ thing.
Didn't mean right away. At some point, that's all.
Well, and by then, who knows? Maybe Alexa and Asuka will have the belts back and then you get your match.
Because that would be a good match. All right. Up next, Karrion Kross, Drew McIntyre inside a steel cage. Should note about this matchup. Drew McIntyre apparently had the flu.
Couldn't tell.
Couldn't tell, but apparently he had the flu.
Also, pre-match, the drone.
Very cool.
Those were the way they integrated the drones in for this, very cool. Also, Scarlett was playing Leather Mommy that night. Have no problem with that. Was interesting to see the little skirt, though.
Okay.
Because she had the full cat suit, and then she had this, like, pleather like flare which turned into a skirt. I don't know what, but it was an intriguing look is about the way I would describe it. But we did get the actual full entrance, which is what I think this needed for Karrion on the big stage.
Okay.
I think with that they needed to have her there, have it do the entrance, because it's part of the whole mystique. It's part of the whole gimmick.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you think of the match itself?
I thought the match was good. Like you said, find out later that Drew had the flu, but it didn't seem, you know, it didn't affect his performance in the match. You just find out later, and it's one of those kinds of things where you're just like, oh, well, kudos on that.
It just makes it more impressive, that's all.
Yeah. one of the spots that always gets me is when Drew is in the Tree of Woe, and Karrion was just kind of talking down to him, and he does the sit-up, grabs Karrion and just chucks his ass. That was impressive, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos for Karrion for taking, you know, a rolling front bump off of the top rope for that. But as I talked about last week, so the stipulation was a steel cage, which is supposed to keep people out of the match, right, Rock?
In theory.
Once again, it doesn't fucking work. You had Scarlett climbing the cage to distract Drew. You had her spray, I guess, which was like the dollar store version of mace into his eyes this time, because it wasn't as effective.
And the ref.
It definitely hurt the ref more than it hurt Drew overall.
But ultimately, I think it ended about the way I thought it was going to. You were going to have that race off against, you know, someone trying to go for the door. I thought I said, you know, she was going to interfere at the door somehow. But yeah, you had Drew essentially going over the top. You had Karrion try to get out through the door. Drew was faster. But all in all, I enjoyed the match.
Well, the finish was a great way of giving Drew the win without hurting Karrion.
Yeah, it doesn't help that Karrion's in the aisleway, you know, telling him this isn't how it's supposed to go. Forecasting where they're going to go with the next one. But it's like, you've already had the two stipulation matches. You had a strap match. You've had a steel cage match. What's the blow-off?
I don't think it's going to be the cell.
Wait, I've got it.
What is the next match? It could be the cell, because that pay-per-view no longer exists.
Supposedly.
Wait. Huh? Monster truck tow off.
I said supposedly, Tim.
Oh, okay.
Because you never know. Monster trucks, really? Really? We're going to go WCW?
Hey, they've already done the car accident thing, so you have that linked in. I'm just saying.
No.
I know.
As long as you know.
But no, I don't know where you go for, like, a final match, because you've already had, like I said, you had the strap match. Where Scarlett got involved. You had the cage match.
Where Scarlett got involved.
Scarlett got involved, and Drew was able to overcome and win at the last bit, at the last second.
If you didn't just do a last woman standing match, last man standing would work. But you've already just run that stipulation. Wouldn't make sense a month later to run it again. But, you know, it's WWE. You never know.
It's happened before.
It has happened before. Drew McIntyre did get the win. We then had the OC take on the Judgment Day.
Rhea's going to die.
This set up a few things. And, you know, here comes the big question. Are we seeing Beth Phoenix tomorrow now?
I still don't think tomorrow.
You know, it's the jury's at 50-50 on this one. Beth finally shows up tomorrow, or they push it a week. I mean, when are they planning on having this match eventually? When is it going to take place? Right?
Survivor.
If you're making it, if you want to do it, Rumble would be the one-on-one.
Yeah.
Rumble would be a great place to have it.
But if you want to wet people's whistle, you do an 8-person Survivor Series elimination match with intergender rules. Where you put Rhea and Beth on opposite sides, do Judgment Day versus OC and Beth.
And if you do that, Beth should show up tomorrow.
All depends. You could hold it one more week.
Yeah, but, you know, like Rhea coming out with Beth's hairstyle as a tribute to the late Beth Phoenix. That just, for me, I mean, first off, it was great. But it just really foreshadows the immediate future. In my mind,
I don't know if it foreshadows the immediate. I think it just keeps it fresh in everyone's mind.
And that's the thing. Since Hunter took everything over Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels after SummerSlam, like full out 100%, it was after SummerSlam. The booking has changed. It has been a noticeable difference. They're not hot-shotting stuff and doing 2 or 3 week buildups for your payoff being at the upcoming pay-per-view.
There's an end goal somewhere, and it's longer than you said.
Yeah, it's what they call the long. You know, they're playing the long game.
Even though some people can't see it at times because people were confused. Well, they're pushing the women now. They've cut back on the women on Raw. It's like they told a story where they injured them. Injuries happen. They're not back in a week. They took out Asuka and Alexa for 3 weeks to sell injuries because, you know, selling.
And there it is, Wrestling Psychology 101, which we lost a hell of a lot of for a long time until recently. And this is what we, you know, maybe the phrase is starting to get overused, but this is hearkening back to old school booking, which is great.
Surprised on the outcome?
No, because you still have. They touched on in the match that there was going to be essentially the Rhea Ripley factor, and for most of the match, she wasn't involved. It wasn't until the very end when she interjected herself with AJ that everything, you know, the tide fully changed. Finn was able to hit the coup de grace, and it shows, you know, she's something that needs to be reckoned with, and that's part of the whole OC thing, is they've seen Rhea getting involved, and they've already discussed, we need to do something about this, and now they can go, okay, yeah, we really need to do this, we're going to call in a favor, or we know just the person that we're going to get, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fantastic thing about it is, at that match yesterday, Rhea, like you were saying, she was not involved until near the end. She wasn't needed until near the end. She came to I don't want to say came to the rescue, but she came to their assistance when it was getting out of hand for them in favor of the OC. And she stayed on the periphery until that moment.
And to be fair, her facial expressions during the match is what helped sell it more than anything. When she was sitting, you know, when things were going bad and she was fully selling it out, it's like, yeah, you started to feel like, okay, maybe things are turning here. And then when she realized she absolutely had to interject herself, that's when she did.
And this also happens to be the match where they acknowledged a certain thing, Brent?
Oh, yeah. So Michael Cole brings up the fact that, you know, oh, yeah, Finn Balor was in charge of the Bullet Club, the founder of it. AJ took over leadership of that, and Karl Anderson was once teamed with Finn Balor. And you're just like, wait, what? You're referencing what now?
So it was interesting. He said Bullet Club twice, I think. And then then it quickly turned to the club.
Yeah, and then it was the club afterwards.
Like, he said it, and then changed what the name was, because they're like, all right, maybe we're not going to fully use it. I think they also referenced him as the never open weight champion.
Yep.
Which was
the current never weight open champion.
Which was all the controversy leading into this match, because he was also scheduled to be in Japan to defend said title on said date, but went to Saudi Arabia instead. So,
well, Triple H offered to fly him out to Saudi Arabia so they would have that title defended
at
Crown Jewel, and they said, no.
It wouldn't have worked. It wasn't the same day.
Yeah.
Dollar bill, y'all.
So, anyway, that's that one. Then there's Braun and Omos.
What is it that Casey likes to say?
Two beefy men slapping meat.
Yeah, two big beefy men slapping meat in that ring. That's what this was.
It was something.
Braun has been making friends after this match, by the way.
Oh, you're talking about his Twitter posts?
Oh, yeah. He's making friends from all different companies.
He's controlling the narrative.
Did you see Mustafa Ali's quote tweet?
I saw Mustafa, I saw Jericho, I saw Ospreay, I saw Ricochet.
Show me how to get fired in one tweet. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a little humble bragging, but, you know, Braun, tone it down.
So thoughts on the actual match?
It was what you expected. Two big and beefy slabs of meat tenderizing each other.
It was one of those things where going in, you're used to seeing Braun as the Annihilator. Like,
Very strange to see him look so tiny.
He lays waste to everyone. Yeah, and then he gets up into Omos, and it's, you know, in the lead up to this, it's Braun is like putting his head at like almost his neck. And you're starting to see just like some of the power that Omos actually has. And, you know, it was impressive to see what he was able to do with Braun in some respects. And also the fact that it's like, oh, everyone was waiting for the Strowman Express to come rolling through. And holy shit, Omos with his, what was it, size 18 boot, put him about two rows into the crowd. But ultimately, I think we knew who was going to win this one. It was weird seeing him play essentially an underdog and being in peril in this match.
In the end,
and also almost needs to learn how to do the take a clothesline over the top rope on the first go.
Yeah, well,
he never seems to get like. I saw one or two times where it's like, oh yeah, they're trying to get him over, and it's like he doesn't get that lean enough, and so they have to reset and do it again.
In the end, Braun Strowman gets the win with the power slam.
So arm wrestling match on Raw tomorrow, right?
Up next, unified tag team titles are on the line. The Usos and the Brawling Brutes.
Okay, now this was entertaining, this match. It was really, really well done.
I want more of these four people beating the hell out of each other.
This deserves a rematch.
It's one of those things when you see Pete Dunne playing the Butch character, and he's just running around frantic. You forget how really good he is in the ring, and then he goes out and has a match like this, and you're like, oh, yes, that.
Well, that's why they were so high on him, because the Butch character is a dumbass character, but Pete Dunne is a hell of an athlete and a hell of a wrestler.
I wouldn't say dumbass character. It's a different way of doing things.
No. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The character is, I'm not calling the character a dumbass. I'm not saying Butch is a dumbass. I'm saying the character is dumbass. Make sense to you? Understand what I'm saying?
Anyway.
I mean, feedback is really good. Thank you.
there were a couple of spots here where they kind of made you believe that the Brutes could win it, which is good because you don't want to have like Rock and Lindsay talked about on Thursday. This might not be the time in which the Usos lose the belt or lose, you know, you start the kind of like breaking up of the bloodline dynasty of holding championships. You could have done it here, in my opinion. I wouldn't have had a problem with it. But the Usos do well in making you believe at certain points that it's like, oh, could this be the finish? And then like Jimmy comes flying out of absolutely nowhere to break up the two count. That's one thing I'll give them as storytellers. They have that ability. And Roman has the same way of doing it at like 2.999. So kudos to them for being able to do that. But yeah, overall, the match was very entertaining. I want to see, like I said, these four guys go at it again. We now get to see the Usos versus the New Day, I believe, on Friday?
For the record.
So we'll see how that goes. But holy shit, that top rope 1D, that was freaking impressive.
Yeah, pretty good.
You know it's good when, like, the previous owners of that move are tweeting about it just like, kudos.
There you go. All right. Last woman standing, Bayley, Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's title. Go.
Overall good match. Really wonky part in the middle.
What was wonky?
So I don't mind the stuff with like the rolling production cart. I thought that was a really kind of innovative thing. Sure, lock her in there. She can't get to her feet that way.
Even if she does, you don't know it.
Well, that was also the spot with the stairs. I thought that was also another good one where it's like you trap her between the ring and the stairs. And it was like, yeah, Bianca has to stand up in order to get there. And when she does, she's kind of trapped. So you still get to, you know, beat the hell out of her. And by the way, surprising that they, I would say, went as much as they did with the weapons in this match. They could have gone further, of course. But for where it was surprised that they used as much as they did. But yeah, at one point, Bayley brings out a golf cart. And as Rock said, the second it came out there, cue AEW, you know, fervor. And it just seemed awkward in the way that they were using it because it's like Bayley was driving it towards Bianca, but not really trying to hit her. And then they were fighting at the top of the ramp, but it's, you saw like Bayley had to like really make sure that the lock was on for the brakes. And then when they drove it down the ramp to use it for the table spot, I don't know. It just felt really awkward with that portion of the match.
It was like they were constrained from doing what they actually wanted to do.
A little bit of that and a little bit of, like, at one point I thought they were going to do kind of like the Stone Cold Zamboni into the ring. Like, I thought Bayley was going to be on the roof and Bianca was just going to, like, run it into the ring and Bayley would, you know, like, enter the ring that way. And then I forgot, oh no, the table's there. Oh, okay, this is how they're going to get up there and have someone take the bump. But yeah, it's, when you introduce a golf cart, you can do some things with it, but at the same time, you're also hamstrung with what you can do with it.
Doesn't quite have the speed of an ATV, a four-by-four, four-wheeler.
Well, and also, I mean, you don't actually want to hit someone with a golf cart. It is still a vehicle. It's still going to damage someone.
But I will admit, when she's driving down the ramp in the cart, I low-key wish that the cart had enough speed to it that she could slam the brakes and we see Bayley, you know, do the Supergirl fly through the air onto the table. Speaking of which, when she finally powered her through the table, kind of overshot there a little bit, eh?
At first, yes.
The first time round, yeah, she that looked very painful.
Then she put her through for good measure. But I did enjoy the finish. Sometimes when you get into these last man standings or last woman standings, as the case may be, you always have that kind of way of like, okay, how are they going to get to the point where someone cannot get to their feet?
What's the innovation in this particular match as opposed to the last one?
Right. I remember back in the day, I think it was WrestleMania, was it 10 in Madison Square Garden where it was Savage and Crush?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh yeah, he was going to string him upside down, but he didn't tie the rope well enough. So it's like Crush still, like, he was up for about a second and then fell, but he was still tied at the feet. So it's like, yeah, it's a smart move. He can't get back to the ring for the death match rule. And then you had, I want to say, was it Cena who duct taped Batista's feet?
Yep. Cena duct taped Batista around the ring post so Batista couldn't get up.
So it's like you always, it's kind of like Kofi in the Royal Rumble. It's like, okay, so how do you get to the next spot or what's the next innovative one? And this one, like you could kind of see where it was going right towards the end, but it was still like when they pulled that move or when they pulled it off, you were like, ah, that's actually really smart. Trapping someone in a ladder and then under the bottom rope. That works because they can't get their feet out from the ladder.
Yep.
Good job.
No, that was well done.
Plus,
well
it's a nice
executed.
Callback. Plus, it's a nice callback to the previous match being the ladder match and Bayley trying to trap Bianca under the ladder. So this time, yeah. Bianca trapped Bayley in the ladder.
In the ladder.
There you go. So
well done.
Bianca's still your champ?
Mm-hmm. Again, drones for this match, too, which were really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. You then had the Bray moment.
God, it is so disappointing that man is not over.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Waste of money bringing him back. He's not over.
God, yeah. Too bad he's not, you know, the number one merchandise seller. Popped one of the biggest ratings that you've had in the past 2 years, I think, on a show.
Something like that.
And then had an entire country eating out of the palm of his hand by simply saying his name.
The cell phone flashlights came on even before the lights dropped completely down. Like, they knew it was coming.
Well, yeah, Bray was advertised, and you had the main event coming next. So it was like, well, this is going to be the spot.
Yeah. A lot of people are starting to say that this Bray coming out and not wanting to, you know, be who he was, and he's fighting the demons and then having the video montage is getting boring and repetitive.
They're idiots.
Oh, it's the same thing all the time, every time. Dude, pay attention to what the fuck's going on because there's differences each and every time.
I don't know about them, but I keep tuning in every week to be like, where is this going next?
Are you finally going to spring this? Or, yeah, are you finally going to spring it on everybody? Or are you just going to keep dragging it out? And, you know, like the subtlety and the nuance. And go back to, you were talking about it at the top of the show, the interview with Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not tie in? I mean, why can't you people grasp the concept, the overall? Like, it's not just a segment of a show. It's incorporated from beginning to end. Pay attention to the subtle signs.
Well, it was like when you had the debut of Dexter. It was something that it was, what, four segments on a Raw that all linked together. And again, it's one of those things of like, it makes you want to see, okay, what is this next segment? How is this tied together? What is the story they're telling? And ever since Hunter has taken over, you started to have more of that where it's like, yeah, it's going to be a very linear thing. It's making you want to go to the next part. It's not, you know, oh, this was sprung on us 2 weeks ago. Well, now we got to run with it. It's like, no, there's long-term storytelling here, which is really nice to see and makes you want to tune in every week to see what the next piece is. And when Bray finally snaps.
And when he finally snaps, yeah. So... storytelling. Woot. Then there's your main event. Logan Paul challenging Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship.
I know people shit on Logan Paul.
Boy, howdy.
That he's just an influencer. That, oh my god, what is he doing, you know, in a wrestling ring? Why is he challenging for, you know, the main title at this kind of show? Oh, this, you know, it's just a stupid Saudi show. It doesn't mean anything. It's all for money. Holy fuck. I wish I had an ounce of the ability that this guy had in three freaking matches.
We were running the numbers. Casey was throwing them at us in the chat on Thursday where he is insanely influencing on YouTube and TikTok and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. He has millions upon millions of followers. He has people that will absolutely tune in to see what he's doing. Now, I understand wrestling fan doesn't like the outsider coming in, but the funny thing is when these outsiders actually put in work and perform, you have to go, oh shit, okay, no, they're actually taking this serious. Look at Stephen Amell. Look at Bad Bunny. You have people that want to come in and actually put in work. I mean, hell, Logan Paul trained with Drew Gulak, Shawn Michaels,
Shane Helms,
and wanted to put together a match, and it fucking worked.
So, the big moment of the match is Logan Paul coming off the top rope, diving onto the announce table with a frog splash onto Roman Reigns while holding a cell phone.
While filming the whole thing from his point of view.
If you haven't seen it, go look at it. It's amazing.
It's all over social media. It's hard to miss.
It has done, as of 5 o'clock today, 3.2 million views on Twitter.
Now, is that just the WWE Twitter?
No, his Twitter.
Oh, okay.
12 on his TikTok, or TokTik, 12.2 million views. And that's in 24 hours.
My favorite thing that I saw was WWE put together the split screen of, like, the broadcast on the bottom and then his perspective on the top at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's fucking great to see.
It's tremendous.
And it's a very simple thing, but I'll give him, you know, being able to do a frog splash. Okay, so it's like getting up on the top rope and performing a move. That's big. And if you've even heard, like, Pat McAfee talking about, like, when he goes up to the top rope, he's describing the fact of, you know, it's higher up than you think, it's wobbly, trying to get all that taking place. So he's on the top rope. He's performing a move to the outside, so it's even more distance and trying to accommodate for that. Like you said, through an announce table while also holding a phone. There's a lot of moving parts that it could go horribly wrong, and it turned out so well.
It did.
And then you had him also doing a freaking buckshot lariat like nothing.
Huh. Yeah, there was that. Everyone made the joke.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the joke was there. But it's just the ability of, like, yeah, doing the front flip and springing off to hit the... Because it's one thing if, like, okay, yeah, you did the front flip, you landed it, cool, and you still have to hit the clothesline. For him, it was all one move. And it looked like the flip, he was able to spring off of it to make the clothesline even more impactful. So, again, it's little things that he's doing and the way he performs it where you're like, wow, that's good. Then you had Roman calling out the YouTubers.
KSI, Mr. Beast. Did he say Doc, too?
He might have said Doc.
I think so. Someone said he said Doc. And it was the one that probably got cut off at the end. But he said KSI and Mr. Beast. And that's like, someone did the research, but going after Doc, that's funny.
I just love the fact that it's like, he calls them out, and of course, they're going to respond on social media. And they did.
Did they?
Yeah. Like, I think KSI and Mr. Beast both had, like, a tweet or a response.
Tim, we're hearing echo coming off of you.
Could that be from me?
I think it might have been from you. Yeah, we're hearing the stream.
KSI, Roman wants that smoke, lol.
There you go.
But again, it's through all of this, you're getting responses and you're making it even more viral than it was. So the fact of, okay, you had Logan Paul in there. Boom, you're hitting a lot of fans. Now you've got Roman calling out big YouTubers or big social media influencers. And yeah, they're going to respond. That's going to get even more people going, so wait, what is this? What happened? Why are they talking about this guy? What? Okay. And you're putting more eyes even on it.
So, KSI put that clip out, right?
Mm-hmm.
3.3 million views on Twitter. They would love... Everyone else would love that. But just 19 seconds, 3.3 million views, because it's on KSI's Twitter, Mr. Beast replied to it. You're putting those two facets there. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You got to take your hat off to Roman Reigns.
Brock, Dr. Disrespect responded to.
Nice. See, I told you.
Noticed who he was about to say, but then decided against it.
Yeah. Told you. I told you he got cut off on his name.
Yep.
You're going to go after names of social media influencers. Those are names.
Mm-hmm.
Someone did the research and handed it to Roman.
Maybe Roman just did his own. Who knows?
Who knows? But, yeah.
But yet, all the purists, and I mean, they even made reference to it on the broadcast. Like, the wrestling purists might not be happy, but this is bigger than just one match. And the pull that this is going to have, you're going to see months later. Because as soon as Logan Paul shows up, guess what? He gets a reaction. Good, bad, otherwise, he gets the crowd responding.
Yes, Tim.
Props to Roman for selling like crazy and actually carrying Paul, which is not to take away anything that Logan Paul did on his own. Begrudgingly, I have to give Logan Paul some props.
There you go.
Rock mark tape.
Mm-hmm.
I said begrudgingly, and I said some.
I'm still asking for tape to be marked. Just saying.
But at the same time, if Roman wasn't as good as he is, this match could have been a bit of a shit show. And I'm still not a fan of Logan Paul.
And go on the internet and complain about it.
I
have.
I told Rock what I want to see when he's healed and someone else is done with other commitments. I want Pat McAfee and Logan Paul to be the tag team champions and call themselves the influencers.
Oh my God.
Between Pat's appearances on College Game Day.
That's insufferable.
And his show. And Logan Paul on his podcast and everything. Just imagine the reach you would have if Logan Paul is doing his podcast and the tag team title is right in front of him. Everyone shat on the fact of Bad Bunny being the 24/7 champion. Yet he brought that thing to concerts and got people's eyes on that belt.
Yeah, Bad Bunny worked his ass off and earned it.
You're telling me Logan Paul hasn't put in the work?
I'm not saying Logan Paul hasn't put in the work.
So Roman,
I will say his brother Jake Paul sure took a shit kicking on social media today.
Aw, for him?
It was funny.
Roman's still your champ. Go, Roman.
But the one thing that this match did... So Rock, Lindsay, and I were talking last night about this. This match made a few people, not just one. So Logan got kudos for his work. You had the Usos come out to interfere. You had Jake come out, you know, to represent his bloodline. And then you had Solo Sikoa come out looking like a goddamn boss. Whether real life, whether like the video game final boss, however you want to put it. His ass walked out and he looked like he was going to murder someone and it was believable.
Solo Sikoa, the jacked out version of Samoa Joe.
So yeah. Now who's next for Roman?
Shit. Who's left?
Plenty of new bodies.
Where do they go from here?
I think we go to war next.
Yeah.
War games. I am so looking forward to war games.
Sammy may die in war games.
And not a single person will be upset with how it happens.
Nope.
Although I do have to say, if you want to do it one way, if you're going to have, like, if the Bloodline lose in war games and you want to keep this storyline going, it's not Sammy that's going to lose it. It's Jay.
We'll have to see. So, Brent, housekeeping.
Oh, God, housekeeping. Okay. So, I've got good news and bad news. We're going to start at the very bottom. The good news. The Wheel went 1-7.
Okay.
Next up in seventh place, going 500, myself, Rock, and Subway. I picked with my heart, not with my head on a few picks. I wanted to see some things happen that didn't. So
I think most of us are in that boat.
Tied in fifth place at 5-3, Kyle and Sheila.
Okay.
Tied in second place at 6-2, we have Lindsay, Rob, and Tim.
There you go.
Rock knows where this is going. We all should be ashamed because in first place, all alone, at the top, 7-1,
the Magic 8 Ball. We got beat by the Magic 8 Ball.
We got beat by an inanimate object.
And that will do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
That's it, everybody, for tonight. But the new week kicks off tomorrow with the post show immediately following Raw.
Yes, we're live again Monday night for Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Of course, Crown Jewel is not quite yet put to bed. Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern. Join the Loud Talk Radio Network for another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rock Radio Show with Lindsay Ward and Rock at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah. One, Tim, your mic is way too loud. Two, yes, we're live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rock. Our Crown Jewel will have all the news, notes, and all you can handle. It's The Rock Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And, of course, you're playing Fortnite with friends this week, aren't you?
Maybe. If we are, it's 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Nah, we'll figure it out. I don't know yet. It's only Sunday. Saturday is such a far ways away. But we will have...
Wow.
We will have
stuff may be happening on Saturday. That's all we'll say.
We have CB Radio, though. Midnight-ish. CBRadio.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. We're on the road to 15 years on December 3rd. So join us then and join us every week. Because... Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't a bear.
He was a bear! God damn it, he is and was a bear.
Fuzzy Wuzzy is not a bear.
Fuzzy you Wuzzy said you talked no to a hair. Source.
Cite your source.
I'm not citing my source. Anyway, that's CB Radio. Check it out, CBRadio.com.
There you go. Of course, Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. Is Wrestle Talk Radio when we got something to talk about, which is a lot of the time, we'll do a show like we did tonight.
Indeed.
But if anything changes, make sure you follow the website on the social medias.
At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com, the Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR Sunday night on the Facebook and the Twitters.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Twitters. Make sure that you follow Keisha. You find him at Kyle Driver. That's like Pile Driver, but with a K. Follow him there. You'll get the odd tweet, and he'll talk about eating stuff off of other things and such. But he's got a Redbubble, too, Rock.
It is linked in the descriptions on his Instagram and his Twitter.
Yeah. There you go. And, of course, Brent's on Twitter.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter, at King Kittens. I tend to make some friends there, especially on Wednesdays or pay-per-view nights for places. But, yeah, you can follow my ramblings there if you want to.
There you go. And, of course, as always, I'm on the Twitter all over the place. Follow me at Flames Forums for absolutely everything kind of content. I post several times every single day. And yeah, don't let the moniker fool you. It's not just hockey. It's not just wrestling. It's like anything that that hits my mind. Things that make you go, the latest dad jokes that I think of that Rock absolutely hates. Bunch of other stuff. You know, I'll post pics on Twitter as well and everything. So follow me there at Flames Forums if you haven't yet. That said, I think we're done, Rock.
Remember, use code ROCK a second before night. I'm shopping. If you have Amazon Prime, you hit the button, do the thing, subscribe to the channel, support us, do the thing. But yes, we're done. Tim, say goodnight.
Good night.
WildTalkRadio.com.